Good morning, church, and welcome home. Thank you for joining us today. Just a few announcements. The church offices are still closed through the month of July. We're hoping to open up in August. We are having our weekly prayer meeting on Zoom tomorrow, Monday night, 7 o'clock. Come link hearts with your church family. There'll be an email sent out with that link, so keep an eye out for that. And for all you teens, we are having our youth group Zoom meeting this Wednesday, 7 p.m. We hope you all enjoyed the little break. We'll send out an email with that link on Wednesday. And we will be celebrating the life of Bob Heaton here at Home Church on August 8th at 4 p.m. Please call the church office and let Kathy know if you're going to attend. We need to make sure we have the proper accommodations because of COVID. There will be a reception at Beverly Heaton's house following the memorial. For more information on that, please contact Jane Morrill. Her phone number, 530-386-1168. Or you can just ask her. She's there in the back. All right, kids. We have a special treat for you. There's no Sunday school or nursery, so we're going to bring you the next best thing. Please, everybody, welcome Miss Anita.
Good morning. It's always welcome to see everybody here. I missed it when we didn't have church, and I'm sure everybody else did too. For those of you, well, we don't have any kids here, but there may be some watching. Usually you go to Genesis, Exodus, maybe Matthew for some of the Bible stories. But today we're going to go to the Old Testament, to the book of Amos. It's the 30th book out of 39 books in the Old Testament. Something the kids probably haven't gotten that far in their Bible with, but it's a good story. Do you know what it means to be famous? Being famous means lots of people know you. You have done something special and drawn attention there, and so you are famous. Famous people kind of stand out in a crowd. The president is famous. Actors and actresses in movies and television are famous. What about our athletes, the football players, baseball, basketball players, and then those people that invent something that makes our lives extra special every day? Well, it's always fun to hear stories about famous people, but today I want to tell you about a man named Amos who wasn't very famous. He was just a shepherd who took care of his sheep day after day. He also enjoyed growing and taking care of his fig trees. He looked forward to picking all those little figs off the tree when they were ripe. No, Amos wasn't famous. He wasn't really smart. He didn't have lots of money, and he wasn't really talented. As a matter of fact, hardly anybody knew who Amos was. But God knew who Amos was. Amos was a man of God. That means he loved God and obeyed God's commandments. He prayed to God and knew that God would get him through every single day. Amos wanted to please God. Amos wasn't famous, but God knew him, and God had something very, very important in mind for Amos. One day, while Amos was out picking figs, God told Amos that he wanted him to go to the northern kingdom and tell his people there that they were doing bad. God wanted Amos to tell them they were going to be in big, big trouble if they didn't stop what they were doing. This kind of reminds me of another story. Remember Jonah? Jonah was asked to go. Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't go. Jonah had problems later on when he met a big fish. Well, Amos wasn't thrilled about going. He had to leave his sheep and his fig trees, and he was going to go a long, long way to tell some people he didn't know that God was unhappy with them. But Amos loved God, and he wanted to please him. Amos obeyed God and did exactly what he was told to do. God was pleased with Amos. Amos wasn't famous. He was just like you and me. When God told him what to do, he didn't say boo-hoo. He left his little sheep and took a great big leap. He went to prophesy to all the girls and guys. He told the people to obey and turn from their sins today. No, Amos wasn't famous, but God used him anyway. You don't have to be famous or smart or talented or have lots of money to do God's work. God can use anyone, even little children, to do important things for him. All you have to do is be willing to listen and obey. All you have to do is make pleasing God the most important thing in your life, and you will be famous in God's eyes.
All right, thank you, Miss Anita. Okay, church, we're going to move into a time of giving and worship. Thank you for all those who have been faithful in your tithes and offerings. We're not passing offering baskets, so please continue to give online if you're able to. There's a box attached to the wall back by the doorway there that you can drop a check or an envelope with your tithes in. And if you're listening from home, please continue to give online or mail in a check, whichever you can. Thank you for your faithfulness and for honoring God during this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just lift your name up and name you as our Lord, Savior, and King, worthy of all of our praise and our offerings. And we just ask you to be with us here in this service today. Bless this service, Father. Bless each and every person who has set foot here and who's watching from home, online, in their car, on their phone, however they might connect with us, Father. Bless each and every one of them. Let them feel your presence. Give us your guidance, your leadership, and we so appreciate your love and care for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, church. Will you stand with us as we worship, please?
You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. There I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, 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 oh. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't. start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, 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 oh. And Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And Spirit, lead me where my trust without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, where my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, then he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Yes, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, always free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. Oh, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died. In my father.
Was not this excited in first service because I didn't know what I was in for, but I'm excited because first service was so good, you guys. I don't want to say I'm shocked in a bad way, but my husband, I'm so proud of him, you guys. He did so good. I just want to pray over him again this morning. Father God, I just pray that once again your words flow through Michael, God, that everything he says, God, will be breathed by you and that it will settle in our hearts, God. This is kind of a tricky subject, God, but we know that you work for the good of those who love you, and we're so grateful for your sovereignty and for meeting us here in this place today, God. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Well, good morning, church. Good to see you all this morning. Gabe, Carrington, good morning, guys. Glad to see you here. Dean, Kathy, how you guys doing this morning? All right. Well, folks, if we can take just a quick minute, I know that we've got people that are in our overflow room, people that are watching our live stream right now and tuned in our podcast. If we can just turn around to the camera, just say good morning to everybody. Good morning. Welcome. We're glad you're with us today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I also wanted to take just a brief second and thank Pastor Carlos for giving me the opportunity to stand up here and preach this morning. Thank you. What a blessing and an honor it is to be able to share God's word with each and every one of you. If we can just bow our heads and pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability that we have to be able to come together, to congregate as a church, to come together as your body, Lord. Father, I thank you for the gift of your word. And Father, I ask that you speak through me this morning. Father, I ask that you open our hearts, open our minds, and let this message fall on fertile soil, Lord. We just pray this in your precious name. Amen. Well, for those of you who know me, you know that growing up, sports played a big part in my life. And a lot of that was thanks to my aunt. She was the one that really got me engaged. She took me to my first games back in Pittsburgh. My mom, on the other hand, she wasn't so much of a sports fan, nor was she a fan of me playing sports. And I guess 20 years of ankle issues and 8 surgeries later, I can understand why she felt that way. But there was also a lot of things that I really enjoyed when it came to sports. So some of the things that I really enjoyed, man, I enjoyed the thrill of the competition. I enjoyed being out there trying to prove that your team was the better of the two, that you worked harder, that you deserved that victory more than the other team. But there's also the relationships that were built. That was something that I really treasured during my time playing. Some of these guys I would spend so much time with that rather than being a friendship, some would say that it's a brotherhood. Knowing what each of these guys were thinking, knowing what their next move was going to be before they even made it, it really just created an unbelievable bond between us. But then there were also things that I didn't like about sports. And I can tell you, those things were the practices, the training, the constant drills, running the same plays repeatedly. So one of my favorite movies of all time is the movie Miracle. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but it tells the story of the 1980 United States hockey team. So this was a group of guys who were underdogs, and they ended up beating the Soviet Union to win the gold medal. On their way to the gold, the coach had kept them on the ice after one of their games. He was so disappointed in their performance that he made them skate what are called suicides. Now, I had a video clip that we were going to watch this morning, but we ran into some difficulties during first service. So for those of you who don't know what that is, you line up on the goal line and you skate to the blue line and back to the goal line. Then you go to center ice and back, the far blue line and back, the opposite goal line and back. That completes one suicide, as they call it. Now, if you can imagine, this group of men had been on the ice in competitive play for 60 minutes, for a full hour. They went out and they gave it all that they had. And at the end of that game, their coach had them doing this. These suicides, these sprints that they were running, they all ended the same way. Once they got back to that goal line, the whistle would blow and the coach would yell, "Again." Let me hear somebody say "again." One more time. Now, most of our kids that are here with us this morning, they would say that a word that they hate, that they don't like to hear, is the word "no." Well, I can tell you, the word that I grew to hate was "again." Just like these guys in the movie, playing sports, there were so many times where we would run our drills, we would run our practices, we were at the point of being sick. We were at the point of exhaustion where you just couldn't go anymore, when you had nothing left in the tank, when there was nothing there, nothing left to give. And here you are, you finally hit that line and you finish the drill. And that coach looks at you and says, "Again." Now here's the amazing thing about the story of that U.S. Olympic team, the miracle on ice, as they call it. And that's that this coach, he took a group of kids, a group of underdogs, that he prepared them mentally and he prepared them physically for what was to come. And he pushed them. He pushed them so hard that they hit their breaking point, just so that he could make them champions. The coach had to break them in order to make them. You know, a common term that a lot of us hear is "no pain, no gain." Now, folks, we can relate this discipline in our spiritual lives as well. So we need to get outside of our comfort zone. We need to do things that we don't want to do in order to achieve the things that we do want, which is to become a Christ-like disciple. But I'll be honest with you this morning. The reality of it all is that spiritual growth, it's not going to occur without discipline. It's not going to happen without some pain, without some hardships along the way. So with that being said, I've titled my sermon, "The Champion in Me." So let's jump right into it. Let's talk about discipline. What is discipline? Mario, if you can key up Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, and I'll give you guys a moment if you want to join me in your Bibles. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father?" In this instance, discipline is being referred to as our spiritual conditioning. This is when we're tested. This is when we're faced with the trials and the tribulations in our everyday lives. And as hard as it might be to realize, sometimes it can also come in the form of suffering. For me personally, spiritual growth has always happened during these times of hardship and suffering. Every single time. And every time when I didn't listen, when I didn't learn my lesson the very first time, that's when God would step in. And God would say, "Hey, again." Now listen, I know that we have people that are sitting out there today, people in our overflow room watching our live stream, tuned into our podcast, you might be going through a rough season in your lives right now. You might be faced with some of these trials and some of these hardships. How many of you feel like you're suffering right now and that it's hard to find hope? Who here feels like they're being held down right now? Look, let me be the first to tell you, I have been there myself. Every single one of us, we have all been there. We've all experienced this. But this morning, I also want to encourage you. Raise your hands, stand up. Don't be afraid to admit that you're struggling right now. Let us know. Let us know that you're struggling, that you need prayer, that you need help through this season. Listen, the reason that we're here is not because we're perfect. The reason that we're here is because we're a church. We're here because we're a family. We're here because we're broken, because we need healing, because we need Jesus. Now, let's pause for just a second. Now, what you're going through right now, all of these hardships, just give some thought to this. Could this be God helping to steer you back on track? Could God be helping you to become a spiritual champion? Did you ever think that these hardships, the suffering, could be God's way of disciplining you? Mario, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be in verses 4 through 11 this morning. And again, I'll give you some time if you want to join me in your Bible there. So starting with verse 4, it says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one that he loves, and he chastens everyone that he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Church, let me hear somebody say discipline. Now look, if you guys lost count, that word discipline was used 10 times in the 8 verses that we just read. When a word is used that much, I can tell you it's not done mistakenly, but it's done with a purpose, and there's a reason for it. The meaning of discipline is training or conditioning. Now, these verses are telling us that God lovingly disciplines his children to train them to become spiritual champions. Now, did you guys catch the key word in that sentence? Lovingly. God lovingly disciplines us. This is done to protect us from what will harm us, and it will allow us to mature as Christians and become like Christ. Now let's talk about what discipline isn't. So discipline, it's not a punishment. Now I know that sometimes when we're faced with these hardships, with these challenges, we have a tendency to think that we're being punished for our sins. How many of you have felt like this? Because I can tell you I have. There have been many times in the past where I felt that I've been punished for my sins. What I want to tell you this morning, though, is that hardship, pain, trials, tribulation, this doesn't mean that God is getting back at us. God's not getting even. He's not retaliating against our sins. God's discipline is not the sentence for our sins. That sentence was paid in full by Jesus Christ. The day that he shed his blood and the day that he died on the cross for each and every single one of us. When God disciplines us, he's not getting us back. But instead, he's drawing us back. He's bringing us closer to him. He's seeking us out to help bring us back into his will. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. The Apostle Paul tells us, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." While God's role in our life is to make us like his Son, he also wants us to be free as much as we can be. But in order for God to be able to help us with our sinfulness, with our attitudes, with our flaws, we have to let him discipline us. When we think back on verses 6 and 7 that we read in Hebrews a few minutes ago, God's discipline, it's being compared to a parent's discipline of their child. Now, I only have authority over my own children. And because of that, I have a very personal concern, an understanding when it comes to Maddie and Kenzie. You see, because of this relationship that we have, my goal is to discipline my girls with the intention of helping them. It's so that they can grow and develop to become everything that they can be, not to punish them. Now, God's discipline, it flows out of his love for us because we are his children. Now, unlike you and I, because trust me, I have been there before and I have disciplined my children in anger, God will never do that to us. God does not discipline in anger. And we know this because in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 24, it tells us that if God did discipline us in anger, he would destroy us, reducing us to nothing. When we're faced with the hardships of God's discipline, we should accept that as God's training, as his conditioning for us. And we should take pride in the fact that we're a child of God. Now look, I want to make something clear this morning. God loves each and every single one of you the way that you are. But I can tell you this, he refuses to let you stay that way. Don't take his discipline as anger towards you. Take it as confirmation that you're his child. Take it as confirmation that he believes in you and that he wants nothing but the best for you. God is a loving parent, and he refuses to give up on you. Something else that we want to remember this morning is that discipline is rarely painless. However, there is a double meaning that exists in the word painful. The reason that I say this is that discipline, it not only hurts the receiver, but it also hurts the giver. In order to understand that, I had to become a parent myself. Now I understand what my mom meant when she would say to me, "This is going to hurt me as much as it's going to hurt you." Discipline hurts. It hurts us, and it hurts God. God doesn't like it any more than you and I do. Never is the hardship and the suffering that we experience, it's never sent our way erratically. God is disciplining us for our benefit. His ultimate purpose is to make us like Christ. And in order for that to happen, the only way that that can happen is through change. He has to change us. And when you think about it, ultimately, discipline, whether it's coming from a parent, whether it's coming from a coach, whether it's coming from God the Father himself, it's all done with the same intent: change. Just like my relationship with my girls and my investment in them, God is invested in me. God is invested in you. And he wants us to be the best that we can. He's seeking for us to change our behaviors, our thoughts, our actions, even our motives. God sacrificing our comfort to make us conform to his character. He wants for us to break through. He wants for us to be spiritual champions. Now, we talked about discipline, what it is, what it isn't. Let's talk about the ways that people typically respond when it comes to discipline, because that's going to be equally as important. We're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. When it comes to discipline, we can be bitter about it. We can hate the fact that we're being disciplined. But Proverbs reminds us, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke." Unfortunately, this is an all too common reaction for us. When we face these hardships head on, a lot of times we have a tendency to react this way. And that type of reaction, it can cause us to become hardened. It can even cause us to become hateful. Another way that we can react is being reluctant about it. When the pain, when the hardships, when the challenges come into our lives, we can endure them and not be happy about it. When we take this kind of an approach, we have a tendency to question God. We cry out, God, why are you doing this to me? God, why are you letting this happen? I don't understand. I'm one of your children, God. Why would you be putting me to this test? For some reason, we as Christians, we have this attitude that we're above the painful realities of life. We're believers. We should be protected. We shouldn't have to go through the pain, the heartache, all of these challenges. Am I right? Wrong. No. We're not protected, and we shouldn't be protected from the hurt. Instead of asking God, why are you doing this? Why are you letting this happen to me? I'm your child. Why, God? Well, we should be asking God, what is it that you want? What are you teaching me, God? The other way that we can react when we're being disciplined, we can just simply choose to embrace God's discipline willingly. This is something that Jen and I have come to realize over the years, is that God's discipline, it's always preparing us for something greater. Most of the time, when we're facing this type of discipline, when we're going through this, it's coming before a blessing. God's discipline is full of purpose. It brings us life. God uses these times to prune us in every single area of our lives where we're not bearing fruit. And we can see examples of this from both James and Paul on how we can just willingly accept God's discipline. We're going to look at two verses right now. The first one we're going to look at is James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, I'll give you just a moment. So what James is telling us, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul writes, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. As we conclude this morning, I want you to remember that we are all spiritual champions, created by his design. God wants for all of his children to be like his son, Jesus Christ. But the only way to accomplish this is through his discipline. When our attitudes are right, when we choose to accept his discipline willingly, it's then and only then that God can use the hardships in our lives to change us and to help us become the one that he's wanted us to be. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take a lot of conditioning, a lot of training, a lot of discipline. And trust me, when you need to hear it, God will step in and he will tell you again. Folks, as we wrap up this morning, Mr. Jerry, if I can ask, would you mind standing up, lifting your voice up, and just saying a prayer as we prepare to leave today? Thank you, Jerry. Folks, I just want to thank you for coming out and joining us today. For those of you who are on our live stream and our podcast, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you guys joining us this morning. Have a blessed week, and we will see you next Sunday.
Darkness creating the light. He is the Lord. Who is like unto him, never ending in days. He is the Lord. And he comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord. Show your power. The power of God for our salvation.